Prophetess Barbara Herman of Providence Family Ministries, located at 1350 Enterprise Road, here in Alexandria, Louisiana. Now let's go to the Word.
Good afternoon. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Thank you for tuning in on today. And the scripture is coming from Revelation chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 7. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 7. Verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent." Verse 7, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Top it, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus started this letter to the Ephesians by complimenting them, describing how they had endured hardship for his name's sake, and they had not grown weary even from the first early day of their ministry. They were still fighting and doing the work of the Lord. Amen. They had put up with hostility from others, but even in all their pursuit of truth and their patience in persecution, they had dropped the ball. So Christ here is criticizing them because the ball that they dropped was because they no longer love one another like they should. Amen? Which Christ has said was the hallmark of his disciples. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus is saying, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." While the Ephesians were busy rooting out error and expelling false teaching, they had grown suspicious of even the ones amongst them. Amen? And so the good deeds that they done were also motivated only by duty rather than love. So in verse 5, Christ gives three commands when you have fallen from your first love. Number one, remember the time and date when you had fallen. Then, number two, repent for your falling. Number three, return again to your first love. Amen. Now, to remember means to keep on remembering the good old days of your early faith. Compare right now your present with your former state, and consider how much better it was then before your fall to where you are now. Think about how much peace, strength, purity, and pleasure you had. Think about how much comfortable you felt when you could lie down at night and sleep. Think about how much better you could handle affliction. And most of all, think about how much you enjoy the favors of providence. Amen. Secondly, we must repent. Repent means to change your mind and confess your sins to the Lord. 1 John 1 and 9 confirms this saying, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And not only that, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Amen. So by being grieved and ashamed, we must not try to blame somebody else, but we are the only one that is at fault because of our falling. Amen. And after we have repented, the third thing is to return and do the first work. Hallelujah. which suggests restoring the fellowship lost before the fall. Begin again. Go back, step by step, until you come to the place where you took that first false step. Amen? We must do everything, not some things, but everything possible to revive and recover what we have lost. Recover our first zeal, tenderness, and love for one another. And we do this by praying, being watchful, and by diligently keeping the ways of God before us. So we see there is always an order and process concerning anything of Christ. That's why he gave us the three commandments. And that is to remember where you have fallen, then repent of it, and then turn to where your first love was. Amen. And the reason for these three commandments that Christ gave was because it is followed by a serious warning of the consequences of the church that faced if they did not repent. And then Christ went on to say, he will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place, meaning the church. Although Christ said in the very beginning, and had promised that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, saying, also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Christ also says that if the presence of his grace and spirit is no longer in the church, then there is no church, because a church without love, there is no longer for even it to exist. Amen. Christ went on to say that when church and sinners will not repent, Christ himself will not be able, that he will unchurch them by taking away his gospel, his ministers, and his ordinance from them. And then, what will the church do? The pastors wouldn't know what to do. Nobody would know what to do because the gospel is taken away from them. Amen. So here we have a conclusion of this letter to the Ephesians with a call to attention. In verse 7 saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Meaning, the one who has an ear is the church member who both hears and heeds the message as it is read in the congregation. Hallelujah. To hear is similar to the warning of Jesus concerning the importance of paying attention to his parables. For instance, in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, Jesus is here speaking about the parable of the sower. Jesus said, others fall on good ground and bear fruit, and it's a hundredfold. And when Jesus had said those words, his disciples was wondering, what does he mean by that? And when Jesus started to explain to them about it, he said in verse 10 of Luke 8, saying, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in the parables, they see and cannot see, they hear and cannot hear, because they can see and don't understand what is being said, because they are not true in their faith with Jesus Christ. But you, as my disciples, he said, y'all are willing to obey me and to trust me in what I'm saying. So, in other words, Jesus was letting us know even today the mysteries, those hidden mysteries of the kingdom of God will not be understood by everyone. Amen? And so Jesus went on to explain that he did this purposely. In other words, he did it because he knew that it was a lot that confessed him that not really believe or either trust him to what he was saying and not love him enough to even obey his word. Amen. But here in the book of Revelation, These teachings are further explained. First, that which is written in the scripture is spoken by the Spirit to the church. Number two, the word of Jesus is the word of the Spirit. And then thirdly, the Spirit is a distinct person from Christ. In other words, the inspired words spoken by the Son of God will be communicated to the members of the church by the personal illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Also, Christ gives a commitment to the faithful believers who take heed to his words and do his word. It is to them that is an overcomer. And an overcomer in the New Testament is one who believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John chapter 5, verse 5 confirms this by saying, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" What this is saying to us is that a true believer, faith enabled him to overcome. The Christian life also is a warfare against sin, Satan, the world, and the flesh. We constantly fight it. Amen. It is not enough that we engage in this warfare, but we must pursue it even to the end. We must not give victory to the enemy, but we must fight the good fight of faith until we gain victory. And we can't stop. We have to keep on pressing to the high calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the reason for that, why we have to keep pressing, why we have to keep fighting, is because the warfare and victory should have a glorious award. Amen? The reward is better than what we're going through right down here now. So that's why we have to keep fighting. That's why we keep pressing on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That which is here promised is to the victors, is that we shall eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And also, to eat from this tree of life symbolizes eternal life with God. Paradise is sometimes used in the place of heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Paul described how he was caught up and heard in paradise. And he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, what Paul was saying was that he heard the language that he heard in paradise and understood was spoken, but he was not allowed to repeat it. And of it, when he came back to earth, amen? Because these words were inexpressible, he said, in the sense that they were too sacred to be uttered and even to be recorded or to be published. Amen? Also, we need to understand about this overcoming is that it does not apply that we are saved by being overcomers, but that our overcoming proves the reality of our conversion experience. Because the only way men are saved is by grace through faith in Christ. So only those who are saved will eat from this tree of life. We should have a perfection of holiness, and that confirms us that we overcame, that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord. Amen. Which Adam, if he just had hung in there and obeyed God when God told him don't eat of that the tree of good and not, but he ate of it anyway, he could have been and been right along with us, amen, to live eternally in heaven. Hallelujah. So in Christ, we have eternal, abundant life. And we can enjoy this blessing right now while we are still on the land of the living. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we should even enjoy it even greater measure in eternity. Amen. Let us pray.